Welcome to The Point. I'm Amy Vince, sitting in for Mindy Todd. High school is designed to prepare students for what comes next, but often students don't know what comes next. Is it 4 years of college, a job, technical school, or a certificate program? Internships can help high school students better identify what they might want to do later in life and perhaps what they don't want to do. Today, we talk about different high school internship opportunities. A little later in the hour, Kara Galvin from the Cape and Islands Workforce Investment Board joins us. But first, a new job shadowing program at Falmouth Hospital called MedStart that gives high school students firsthand experience in the OR, the lab, and the IT department. Joining us is Dr. Keith Blyler, a physician who founded the program, and Janet Rocha, a business and career education teacher who runs the internship program at Falmouth High School. Welcome.
Thanks for being
here. Thank you.
MedStart is a collaboration between the Falmouth Hospital and Falmouth High School, and it gives students the opportunity to shadow staff at the hospital. Janet, tell us more about how the program works.
Sure. So the idea behind the program was to open up opportunities for any student to be able to participate in a job shadowing experience at Falmouth Hospital. So we deliberately scheduled these events to happen on half days of school. So when students typically get dismissed at 11:15, these students decided to participate in a job shadow experience. When I say these students, I mean not just medical students, but as you had mentioned in briefly, we like to open the opportunity up to students who are interested in many different kinds of careers because the hospital has many different departments that they can provide experiences in. IT, as you mentioned, they may be interested in business, so the business administration office may be an area. There are many different places.
And what is the grade? So who's eligible to participate in the MedStart? What's the...
So we offer to the junior students.
Junior students.
Mm-hmm. And if they participate in MedStart and they decide that they would like to have, you know, a more expansive experience, then they can apply for an internship program. So MedStart's been very good with opening the door for them, providing a 3-hour shadowing opportunity. And then we've had, we had 22 students, actually, the first time we piloted this last spring of 2016. And of those 22, 8 students went on to do internships the following fall, this past fall.
And Keith, you and your wife, Monica, came up with the idea for MedStart. Why did you think this was an important opportunity for students?
Well, you know, in Falmouth, you've got the scientific community down here in Woods Hole. But where else do you have a significant concentration of professionalism, professional post-academic careers? And I saw this opportunity at Falmouth Hospital. We are all products of the big city hospital systems and the big city higher learning centers. But, you know, we all live here in Falmouth, but yet we carry with us all the education that, you know, we learned there. So what a waste to not be able to provide some of this teaching that was, you know, certainly available but not getting used. You know, as Janet said, you know, this was a program that my civic-minded wife thought up, and, you know, it just sort of made sense. Peter Hopewood and I sat down and at lunch and basically came up with almost an entire curriculum that was available to students strategically, just like Janet said, on half days so that any student can attend regardless of their grade point average or anything like that. The burden that parents face nowadays in higher education costs, and it's because, you know, the demand is high. We're all willing to pay these exorbitant costs for universities. It'd be nice if a kid knew exactly what they were kind of getting into, because they're going to come out with debt, you know, and some of these students are coming out with undergraduate degrees, $100,000 in debt. And sometimes you can't get out from under that. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it be nice if they had an idea of what it is that the career entailed, have a one-on-one opportunity to ask, okay, well, let's take nursing, for example. Where did you go to nursing school? How much did it cost? How many years did it take? Were you prepared to do your job once you left nursing school? was, do you find that you were able to pay back your loans effectively? These were all things that were just killing me inside. You know, I really lucked out. I went to college. I paid $800 a semester for as many credits as I could take. And I was driven to get through college and on to medical school. But, you know, nowadays kids aren't so sure. And they could spend an entire first year of college and there's $20,000, $40,000 gone right there in a, you know, some learning that they may never be able to apply.
Well, I also wonder, too, when you talk about careers in healthcare, the first thing that comes to mind is maybe nursing or becoming a physician. Are students surprised at how many other career opportunities there are in healthcare?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. If you ask a student to name, you know, five careers in healthcare, they may name doctor, nurse, maybe physical therapist, but you know, Falmouth Hospital is a microcosm of just about every field out there. Everything from business administration, information technology, physical therapy. I mean, I could sit here and just name all of the job descriptions there at the hospital.
But so how do you do that in the MedStart program? Do you sort of have a menu of job shadowing opportunities for students so they can sort of look at it and see which one they want to do? How do you?
We do. And as I said, we piloted this last spring. So we're still tweaking it in every session that we run. We kind of tweak it and make it better and better. We do have a sort of a menu. And the menu is deliberately sort of broad so that I can engage in a conversation with the student and get more information with them. And then I communicate with Monica and Keith and say, well, this is what the student, you know, these are the ideas that the student has. And we try to work from there to say, to match them with a provider who, you know, specifically matches their interest. Sometimes they're not even sure. And so the conversations that we have may start out with, you know, I'm interested in nursing. And by the end of the, you know, exploratory conversation, we find out that, well, they'd really like to be in a particular area in nursing. So that's why we try to have it broad to begin with. And then with working with the student, we try to kind of narrow it down if possible. And so for some students that just don't know, they may participate in more than one session. They may come in and be placed in one particular area, and if they desire, we can try to place them on the next session in another area. So we have had students participate in multiple sessions as well.
And what do you hear from the students after they do this? What are some of the comments that come back?
I mean, there's a variety of comments from, wow, it's cool. I didn't realize, this is going to sound funny, but I didn't realize I'd be on my feet all day. Remember some of the kids were commenting about, it was exhausting. And they were there for 3 hours, not on an entire day, right? Surprised after having conversations with some of the medical professionals at, the length of study for the particular profession. I've had most of them come back kind of really in awe, I think, because they have preconceived ideas of what they think the jobs are going to be like. But being there in person, working with these professionals one-on-one is really kind of eye-opening to them. Do you have any?
Yeah, I guess the most common one is, you know, I didn't get enough time to spend, in that 3 hours to really, I wanted more time because I couldn't believe how cool it was. That's generally what it is. And, you know, those are the kids that do really are sparked to then attend an actual internship, which is a structured class session, right?
Right.
Yeah, I wanted to ask more
about senior year.
Yeah, about the internship program. So, because that's just offered to seniors, right?
Yeah.
So explain how that program works specifically at the hospital.
So, some students, as I said, have done the MedStart session, and then that opened their eyes, and they decided, I really want to have a more in-depth experience, and they've come through that way into internships. And then other students in school apply for the internship program, and there's an application process. I meet with them one-on-one, find out a little bit more about what their interest is, communicate with Keith and Monica. We're constantly communicating back and forth on what students are interested in. And once they go through that application process, Keith will try to find a provider that matches them. And they will attend a semester-long internship. So it's a structured course. It's a four-credit course. They leave during the school day. Most of them, we try to leave at the last two periods of the day so they don't return to school. And they go, and they're there for 2 hours a day, 4 days out of our six-day schedule. The other 2 days, they're in class with me 1 hour on each day. And on those days, they work on different writing prompts. So they have work that is related to the internship. There are questions that are designed to ask them bigger picture questions about their experience. You know, when was your organization founded? How many employees? Do they do advertising or marketing? How diverse is the organization? What kind of technology is used? So things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they work on that in class. And then we also have a business ethics curriculum that I use with the students when they're in class with me. And that's, you know, all kinds of scenarios on things that happen in the workplace, conflicts with your boss, conflicts with another employee, confidential information, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. So
Keith, when the students are with the providers, what does a typical day look like? I mean, what are some of the things that the interns are doing when they're there for those 4 hours?
So I'll give you an example. You know, I had a student intern with me, she would spend time with me in the office. And, you know, my field is dealing with, you know, urologic issues. So she helped work on a project with me on finding our patients with a certain disease, such as prostate cancer, and looking to, you know, create like a flow chart with them longitudinally. They'll also, on certain, you know, appropriate times, come in and do an actual exam with patients to see how our medical assistants, you know, take blood pressures, how we record that information in an electronic medical record, how we interpret lab results and things. So basically, they're just shadowing us to see exactly what does our day entail. Another student that spent time with one of the anesthesiologists, Dr. Mark Camp, who's a phenomenal teacher and really enjoys having students with him. The student had, you know, would spend time with him in the preoperative area, evaluate patients, be there at the time patients went to sleep under anesthesia. This all occurs with patient consent. They're not participating in anything. It's not hands-on. It's just observation. And be there with the patient in the post-operative setting as well. But in the meantime, I mean, they have full exposure to all of the, you know, anatomy and physiology of what happens in the operating room, you know, surgically and under anesthesia. I'd say that is probably the biggest privilege available to these kids is the opportunity to be able to see how an operating room functions. I mean, I wish that was available to me, you know, when I was in high school, because that's kind of what I wanted to do. But another student spent an entire internship in the information technology department and was involved with swapping out PCs, putting in new PCs, running data cable, writing code, making sure that the information systems were loaded up on all the computers. And I think the feedback that he gave was that, you know, he didn't feel like a student intern. He felt like he was part of the actual IT team.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was going to be a question, too, because I think to give a student a meaningful experience mm-hmm. is a commitment on the part of the person who takes that on, right? Because it's work. Having an intern is work. So what do you tell staff about that, you know, to sort of to elicit interest and also about the reality of having an intern?
You're right. It is. It's a lot of extra work. It does slow you down a little bit. But with the right student, it's complementary. Mm-hmm. They are once they understand sort of what the routine is with with whatever process is going on at the hospital. You know, it's they kind of learn more by just watching, and with a simple little explanation as, you know, why you did things the way you did them. It's a little extra time. It does take the right provider. You know, not everybody mm-hmm. is cut out to be a teacher. But, you know, I think somebody once told me this, and it's really true. If you know, part of what is being human is being able to teach. And if you can't teach, there's something wrong. You know, if you're not able to, I think it's in our genes somehow to teach, to be able to promulgate the information that we already have. And for most of us in the healthcare career, and for any career that is, it's a satisfying thing. So there is value not just to the student, but it's a satisfying thing, and it really helps create a sense of validation of what you're, you know, if you're actively explaining what you're doing, it's validating what you're doing mm-hmm. to yourself.
Do you hear that from the people who, you know, from the staff or providers who participate? Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. That might be a little bit more ideologically said than actually heard, but.
Well, I just like to chime in on that. What I've heard from some of the providers is they love having the student with them. They feel
right.
that, you know,
right.
it's, you know, kind of having that young blood in there, share what they, like you just said, share with, you know, their wisdom, share what they do. And it's just, there's like, they're energized. And on the other side, the students, one of the little things I like to mention is the students go into these internships at the hospital. They have their own lab coats that we provide them, right? It's a small little thing, but to the students, that's a big deal. They put that lab coat on. It's in the school colors, and it's embroidered Falmouth High School intern, and it's a way to visually, you know, differentiate them from the staff.
Yeah, they do stand out like a sore thumb in the hospital. They're not in white. They're in maroon.
Yeah, you know? They have to be in maroon, and we did that intentionally. Mm-hmm. But they put that on, and they're ready to go, and they just – it's, you can just see it in the way they carry
yeah,
themselves. They feel
true.
Part of the team. They mm-hmm. feel like they're a professional. So I think it's really it's a win-win situation.
And if you take a look at a student before they start the internship and come take a look at them afterwards, what kinds of changes do you see in them socially or academically? I mean, is there a transformation that takes place over the course of that internship?
I would say certainly for most of them. And it would be – there's a maturity – There's a difference in, really, it's the way they carry themselves. I still have students who, from last semester that did internships, that'll come up to me, approach me in the hall. One of the students returned back to visit the nurses that she shadowed in the hospital. And they, you know, they beamed. And she came to me to tell me that particularly. She was beaming. I got to see, you know, so-and-so and... So I think that there's a transformation in the way they carry themselves, the maturity. It also helps them when they're already looking toward college, and they're looking at these, you know, the coursework that's in front of them. And I think it does help factor into some of the decisions that they're making with regards to, you know, what lies ahead for them from a coursework perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the time they're seniors, they've already, you know, they've had their decisions for their high school coursework made, but I think that we see that as well, that it gives them a sense of really looking at what's ahead academically and, you know, in the decisions that they have coming forward.
And yeah. You offer internships outside of the hospital as well, right? So can you
yes.
talk briefly about mm-hmm. how that works?
So we just have a senior internship program, whether you're going to be placed at the hospital or anywhere else. And we have students... I've had them all over. I've been doing this for 10 years at the high school, and I've had somewhere close to 200 students. I have about 155 documented that I've actually tracked. So about over 200 students have gone through the program, and they've from auto technicians, veterinary assistants, veterinarians, dentists, just in every job you can imagine that we have available locally. I did have situations where, you know, students wanted to, like I had a young lady who wanted to be a fashion designer, and we clearly don't have that here. So we were creative, and she worked with the school play, and she was the she did all her costumes, she did all the fitting, she shopped the market for accessories and what they needed, and then she also did a research project on fashion trends over the last 10 decades. So she had a whole presentation. So we try to accommodate students as closely to their area of interest as possible, whatever their area of interest is.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Off the air, you mentioned that it's not as if you come in and have a book for students to leaf through to pick an internship. They actually have to come up with the idea themselves, right?
Yeah, so if they have a career interest, I think it's more important to try to tailor the internship as closely to their area of interest as possible. And certainly I have a list of people that I've worked with over 10 years, but I don't want to provide that to them. I want to, kind of get inside of their thoughts and see, what are you thinking? What are your interests? And then try to place them, as I said, as targeted as possible with an internship. And as I tell the student, never done that before, but I'm more than willing to call, because all they can do is say no.
Right.
So I'll call anybody.
You have to be creative and a sleuth all at
the
same time.
Right. It's a lot of detective work, yeah.
I think the whole idea of education should or is maybe in the process of changing, and that, interning and internships are going to become more and more important. You can spend all the time you want in a classroom, but until you're shoulder to shoulder with that particular career, you're never going to know what it's like. And you may end up, unfortunately, in a career you don't like, because you never knew what it was like to begin with.
Right.
Well, that's a great point. And I have had interns come to me in just a few weeks in and say, "Ms. Rocha, this is really not what I thought. I don't want to do it." And if they come to me early enough, I can, make a change for them. And that has happened. And I tell them, that's great, because you just saved yourself a lot of time, both time investment and money, certainly money, by not pursuing something that you thought you wanted, originally.
I mean, college is great. If you know what you want to do, it's awesome. But not everything requires a college degree. That's what I was getting ready to say. So kids can find excellent careers, very successful careers that don't require any kind of secondary education. The pressure for high school kids is, parents, the school, the universities, they all want these kids sucked in, and they want to just bleed you. But they could do just as well, and maybe even better financially, in a career that doesn't even entail college.
Right. I would hope the focus would be on finding something that you enjoy doing that can pay you a livable wage, right? That would be a good combination.
Dr. Keith Blyler and Janet Rocha,
thanks so much for coming in. Thanks to you both.
Yeah, thank you.
We
continue our conversation about internships with Kara Galvin from the Cape and Islands Workforce Development Board after this short break.
You're listening to The Point. I'm Amy Vince, sitting in for Mindy Todd. Pressure is increasing on students to know what career they want to pursue as they graduate from high school. But for many students, their life experience is limited to the classroom and perhaps a summer job. Not much basis to make an informed decision about a professional career. Joining us to continue our discussion on ways we can introduce students to career options and get them better prepared to enter the workforce is Kara Galvin. She's the Director of Youth Services at the Cape and Islands Workforce Investment Board. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
First, explain the mission of the Cape and Islands Workforce Investment Board as it relates to youth.
We have several different programs. First, we run the School to Career program that's in many of our schools here on the Cape and Islands. We also run a leadership program that targets our 7th through 9th graders, which is a program that we run twice a year, once in the fall, once in the spring. And that's a program, like I said, for our younger students. And we try to get them at that earlier age, and we give them leadership activities. And that's typically we hold one in the spring, one in the fall, and it's outside of their own schools. And we bring in different activities that will allow them to pursue leadership activities, hands-on activities. So our fall activity is coming up this Friday at Camp Linden. weather permitting, of course. And we also run an artworks program. And that's an activity where we link students in grades 10 through 12 with artists, art mentors within their community. The students are allowed to pick an artistic discipline that they want to pursue.
Tell us a little bit more about the School to Careers Partnership.
The School to Career Partnership is for 11th and 12th graders, and the schools run the program themselves. And the students are able to link into an internship that they are looking to pursue. So typically the student will select an internship, something that they are looking to pursue in college. So we have many students who will pursue different internships within the fire, nursing, police. Our teachers do a phenomenal job with linking through their employers within their communities.
Right. And we had mentioned off the air that there are some different opportunities in this region than, say, a more metropolitan area, such as Boston or
Absolutely.
Springfield.
Absolutely. Here on the Cape, the teachers really do a great job of working with their municipalities very closely. Our demographics are so different. We don't have the larger businesses that are often found off Cape. So we have to be a little bit more creative here on the Cape. Some of our students have been fortunate enough to work with businesses like Suncorp White and Onset Computer and Hydroid, but the numbers are oftentimes smaller and not larger like you would see off Cape.
And what are some of, you know, I think we imagine interns going into hospitality or, as you said, schools and municipalities, but what are some of the kind of outside-the-box internships that you've helped students place students in?
It's not always, just to clarify, it's not always myself that's finding the internships for the teachers. I mean, certainly we will step in and help, but it's certainly the point of contact is that classroom teacher, the one that is running the School to Career program. And I think one of the most creative internships that I've heard in the last couple of years, we had a student that was working at a funeral home. And the reason why is that they had a family member pass away, and she was looking to study grief counseling in college. And so that was a really good way for her to kind of get her feet wet in that process. And when I went to take part in the senior projects, sitting there and watching her kind of talk about her internship, it was really moving. It was really moving listening to her talk about her internship. I mean, it really took my breath away. I would say that is probably one of the most unusual internships that we've had. But the kids really take part in amazing internships here on the Cape. Amazing internships.
You, I imagine you've worked with employers repeatedly over the years.
Absolutely.
But if you're looking, you know, a student has a particular interest and you want to get help facilitate an internship, how do you sell the employer on taking on an intern? What are some of the benefits that you?
Well, I mean, firsthand, I think as I mentioned to you off air, this year we had an intern in our office. So not only did we have six interns on our youth council, one of those six interned for me directly. And I can firsthand talk about just she was a force of nature. I mean, she was amazing. She helped not only with specific programs that we were launching, she was there to really kickstart some of our. She was doing marketing. She was doing some social media work for us. You know, I think we really have to get away from thinking our interns are no longer just stuffing envelopes and answering phones for us. I mean, she did so much more than that. She was able to do things and take things off my plate that I really didn't have time for. Like I said, she was able to take the lead on some social media things for me, which was great because she knows what the kids are looking for. And that was huge for me. She attended events with me, which was great. And I was able to expose her to things here on Cape Cod that she wasn't aware of, and give her some insight, which looking back, I think was a really good experience for her.
And also a good realization that taking on an intern is a commitment and a lot of work. I mean, it
absolutely.
It's if a lot it's of going work. To be a meaningful experience. For
absolutely.
Them.
And I mean, it definitely took some planning. But I think it was something I would certainly do again. And I think to answer your question and to kind of circle back, it will give me the opportunity to be able to sell that in a better way in the future.
Right. You work with schools on both islands. Are the internship opportunities on the Vineyard or Nantucket, are those different from what you have on the Cape?
Yeah, I think they are a little bit different. We have two very active internship programs over there, both on Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. I would say Martha's Vineyard runs their program like a vocational school, so it is a little bit different.
Right. Our region has a very vibrant creative economy. We're known for our artists. Have you been able to leverage those opportunities for students interested in the arts?
Oh, absolutely. Through our Artworks program that I mentioned briefly, you know, as I mentioned, we link upwards of 40 students a year to mentors within the art community. We recently celebrated our 20th anniversary of the Artworks program, which was highlighted through our Artworks exhibit that we just celebrated May 9th over at the college at the Higgins Gallery. And that's a perfect example of how we can delve into the creative economy. We really, as I mentioned, we let the students choose their artistic discipline that they want to explore. And when the program first started 20 years ago, it was really fine arts focused, drawing and painting and clay, glass blowing. And as the program has evolved over the last 20 years, we see a lot more fashion and jewelry. Photography is very popular right now. And I feel that, and I think some of the mentors would agree, that's really what the students are watching a little bit on TV, you know, DIY TV and things like that. But it's also, some of our students are actually bringing in some money on their practicing what they're doing. You know, we have several photography students that are earning some money doing just that. We have one student that has been able to do some senior portraits and Christmas cards with her work. And we have other students who have been able to sell some of their paintings. So they're really learning a lot more working with their mentors about how to take their art and learn more about the creative economy. And that's a lot that's done through the Artworks program. Their mentors really teach them what it's like to be an artist and survive through the creative economy.
Right, try to make a living.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
And some listeners might not realize that there are school districts on the Cape that don't have art programs. So if you have a student who that is their passion, this is a wonderful way for them to be able to pursue it.
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons why this year we chose to open up our program to 10th graders, whereas traditionally it was 11th and 12th graders.
College has gotten so competitive and the pressure's on for students to have a number of different activities, internships, and leadership experiences to help stand out in that application process. And this often means that students who have to work are at a disadvantage when it comes to college, that college application process. What are some options to help this group of students? Are there paid internships so they can actually be earning some money while they do this? Or how do you factor that in to make it accessible to everybody?
That's a great question. There are some paid internships out there. Not as many as we would like, but there are definitely some out there. And I think one of the nice things, and we've seen it with our art mentors this year, a lot of our mentors are willing to be very flexible when it comes to hours. And I think that really lends itself to what you just said. We realize that oftentimes families need that second income. Our students really need to work, and they also have other extracurricular activities, or they have sports commitments, or they need to be home watching their siblings. And so we have really seen our mentors and our interns, you know, internships become creative with their hours. And I think that's really important. This past winter and spring, I had the opportunity to visit a lot of our mentors within the art program, and many of them were doing Saturday hours, which was great. So our students could either take part in after-school jobs or extracurricular activities. And so I think that just answers your question right there. A lot of them were doing their internships on the weekends.
Right. And some of these students, we should point out, are not old enough to drive. So parental support must be key to making this successful.
Absolutely. Parental support is huge. And I think one of the nice things about my job is I've really had the opportunity to get to know so many of the families. And they're great. And the support is key. And the parents that I've met are willing to drive students all over the place to be successful in these programs. And the students wouldn't be as successful without their parents' support. And it's wonderful to see that.
We have a comment from Peter via Facebook who says, I participated in an internship twice with a U.S. congressman with his campaign and congressional office in the 80s. It led me to a political science degree and the beginnings of IT work for him. I'm now involved in local politics as a Falmouth town meeting member. We got another email here. Let's see if I can bring it up. This one is from Ryan. He writes, when I was graduating high school, I was asked by teachers and parents where I was going to college. When I told them I was going to take a year or two off to travel, they were very unsupportive. After 18 months working and traveling abroad, I came back to the States, went to community college for exactly what I wanted to do, and now I own my own business in the field with no student loans. I feel the gap year concept is not encouraged enough in this country.
I would love to speak to that. My own son took a gap year this year, and when he initially brought it up with me, I must say I was a little hesitant, but it's really proven to be quite a great experience for him. And as I personally would say, as long as you have a structured gap year, as my son did, it's been really a great thing for him. And he is going off to college in August.
We're talking about internships and other programs to get high school students ready for college and work with Kara Galvin of the Cape and Islands Workforce Development Board. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about student internships this hour. Kara Galvin joins us this morning. She is in charge of the youth services at Cape and Islands Workforce Development Board. As we discussed in the last segment, college isn't for everyone. And as much as a four-year liberal arts education can benefit a student by introducing them to a broad array of subjects, it's expensive and might not be affordable or appropriate for everyone. As you help students navigate the internship process, is this part of the conversation you have, whether or not, you know, maybe a vocational school or college or a certificate program, something, you know, help them explore all the different options, that it's not set that you really have to go to a four-year college?
I mean, to be honest, that's something that would really be discussed at the school level. All of our students, when they go out on their internships, complete what we call a work-based learning plan. And that's really a gauge for them to kind of just figure out where their strengths and weaknesses lie. And it's what we help with their reviews and whatnot. But as far as where they're going after college, that's really the school, kind of where the school would kind of come into play.
But do you talk about that as they consider what internships or where their interests are? Like, you know, you're interested in this, and it doesn't seem like college would be the track if this is where your interest is.
We would. We absolutely would. I mean, we have very strong partnerships with Cape Cod Community College, so we would certainly lay that foundation if need be. And, you know, we definitely, as mentioned, we have strong connections with the community college, and we would certainly help with any partnership that needed to be anything that we could do to help facilitate a relationship or guide a student in that direction.
Right, or just point it out as an
absolutely
option, for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, some students struggle in an academic setting but might excel in other environments. Do you try to target those students who are struggling in school or at risk for dropping out?
Well, a lot of our programs, I mean, these programs in general, the School to Career program and Connecting Activities, these programs, when they were first evolved, were really geared towards the at-risk student. They were here to keep students coming to school. You know, you couldn't go out on your internship if you didn't come to school. So they were a means to encourage students to come to school and, you know, to do well. And so they've evolved over time. And now we see an array of different types of students enrolling in these programs, and which is, you know, looking at our student rosters each year, it's really, I think, interesting to see the types of students that take the class itself, because we'll see everything from your top level student to an alternative learning student and everything in between. And that's really interesting because all types of students will benefit from an internship program.
Right. What are some of the skills you want to see students walking away with after participating in an internship? And is there a system in place for evaluating those skills before and after to see?
Yes. As I mentioned, all students complete a work-based learning program work-based learning plan, which is an evaluation. And we complete them with the students before they even go out on their internship. And it is an evaluation, and the students can pick the skills that they want to succeed in.
What are some of those examples? Can you give an example?
Sure.
What are some of the skills that you're targeting?
So they'll have soft skills. And so, for example, does the student arrive on time? Is the student professionally dressed? Is the student taking directions well? And then the students can also do skills that are indicative to their own workplace. So, for example, if we were doing a work-based learning plan for somebody in the art field and they were studying fashion, are they learning to cut patterns? Are they learning about fabrics? Can they sew? Are, you know, something more indicative specifically to their industry? If it was somebody that was working, for example, in the firehouse, are they learning specific firehouse duties? Are they learning that language? Are they becoming part of a team? That type of thing. So the students can pick their specific goals that they want to achieve, and we will, the teacher and or I will go out and review that student midway through the through their internship, and then again at the end. And it's more or less just a check-in and make sure that the student is grasping all of the concepts. And it's not a pass or fail. It's more of just a check-in, and then we'll do it again at the end.
Right. And how do you prepare? I mean, I imagine that for some students, this is their first experience in a professional environment, which is very different from a family environment or a school environment. How do you get them prepared, sort of this code of conduct of how to present themselves and behave in this professional environment?
It's actually the schools do a fantastic job on preparing all of the students. You know, each school runs their program a little bit differently, but the schools do a real outstanding job as far as prepping and preparing the students as far as how to arrive on site at your job, to be professional, to what to wear, how to greet your employer, you know, when to arrive. How do you even call out sick? Like, some of these students don't even know what to do. So to answer your questions, I must give credit to the schools because they've really prepared the students 100%.
What are some of the things students share with you after the internship?
Oh, goodness. The students, I can't think of a student that hasn't enjoyed this program. And having just taken part in senior presentations and at one of our schools, They were amazing. And some of the projects that I have seen through the School to Career program, we had one student that worked for her family business, and her family business was installing koi fish ponds. And it was amazing. It was amazing. We had one student that worked at Falmouth Hospital, and she got to rotate in different departments. And she is now going to UNH to study nursing. So just to sit back and see how these students were so successful is truly amazing. We had, like I said, I mean, I had my own personal intern, so that was phenomenal. I listened to a student who got to intern at Ellie Kai. I mean, that was amazing. So the students, they truly, truly enjoy these experiences. And every year we pick one student to highlight through the Connecting Activities book, shall we say. And I will ask all of our teachers, and we try to highlight one student from a different school every year. Last year, we highlighted a student from Barnstable High School. He did an internship at the firehouse. But at the same time of him being a senior in high school, he was also taking EMT classes at the community college, which in itself was so unique to me as a mother of a senior at the time. You know, I couldn't imagine.
How could you do both?
Exactly. And I was like, well, you know, what about your social life? And he was just like, well, he was so focused to me, and it was so unique. And now he's studying fire science at the community college, and he's just truly an amazing young man, and he was so focused, and you know, it was a pleasure to watch him grow throughout last year. So you know, every year it's a real pleasure to highlight a student and see what they do.
Early in the program, you had mentioned the youth leadership component of mm-hmm. what you do, and you target younger students. Talk about the importance of instilling those leadership qualities and how that translates later.
It really is. It's a program that Ken Jenks, the principal of DY, and I, we really hold this program, you know, in such high regard. And we choose 50 students each year. So in the spring, as I mentioned, and in the fall. And the fall is more of a classroom component. And in the spring, we try to do an outdoor activity. And we try not to choose those students that get chosen for everything. So we're not choosing the peer leader. We're really choosing as Ken would like to say, the tier two and tier three student, the student that's kind of hidden in the classroom, the one that has some potential, but maybe hasn't exhibited it yet. So we're choosing those students that before they go to high school, so that we can instill some of those leadership qualities so that they will want to go back to their community and or their school and become those leaders, whether it's in the classroom or whether it's in their community. And like I said, in the fall, we do a really nice job of utilizing some members of our board to put on different activities. And then in the spring, we do an outdoor activity. So hopefully on Friday it won't rain and our activity won't be canceled, but we're holding an event at Camp Linden and we have a teen speaker coming as well.
Many on the Cape and Islands are concerned about, you know, this aging demographic, and some of the concern is how do we keep and attract younger people here? And do you see enough year-round employment opportunities that might appeal to this younger demographic to keep them here?
I do. I do see that. And I see, to be honest, I see our schools becoming more and more creative with those students who want to enter education. I see the schools offering internships and really encouraging their students to come back and enter education here. I also see the companies that are here engaging with our students to become college interns, and not just the hospitality and healthcare, you know, those we would expect, but I also see it with other industries as well.
We'll have more information about the MedStart program at Falmouth High School, which we discussed earlier this hour, as well as more information about youth programs through the Cape and Islands Workforce Development Board at our website. That's capeandislands.org. Kara Galvin, Director of Youth Programs at the Workforce Development Board, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm Amy Vince. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.